Morning and a very warm welcome to our service this morning. It's nice that even though the holiday season is upon us, there's so many of you with us. And I'd like to extend an especially warm welcome to Professor Sir Les Ebden. Thank you for coming to lead our worship this morning. It's nice to have an old friend back with us. Welcome too to the people on Zoom, and hopefully you can hear all that's happening this morning. There is no news sheet this week because it's the month of, or very close to the month of August, and the holidays are in situ. Colin, you'll be aware, is on holiday. He starts his second week. If you do have any pastoral concerns in the course of the week coming up, please contact either Judy or Charlene. Their numbers are on last week's news sheet. You'll realise that most activities are having a break during August, but there are still one or two activities with the ladies group. The notices were in the news sheet for that period. The one thing I would like to draw your attention to, and I hope that you can use the month of August to limber up, is the Beds and Hearts Historic Churches bike ride. This is something we've supported for many years. It is there to raise funds for historic churches, and we are a listed building, so from time to time we've had a benefit from that. And any funds raised in the sponsorship, they return half to us, and you'll be aware we have a few projects on the go. So if you are able to give your time and you're feeling fit, you can cycle around the historic churches or walk around them and get sponsorship per church. So it's not per mile, but per church. So if anybody wants to know where the greatest cluster of churches are, have a word with me over coffee, because I have taken part when I was, shall we say, slightly fitter. So I have a few hints and tips on that one. So that's the second Saturday in September, the 10th. And if anybody's not able or feeling fit enough to run around the churches in Bedfordshire or Hertfordshire, could you spare an hour to sign in the riders here and give them a drink? I'll put this notice on the board. They're starting a little bit earlier than years previous. It's 9 o'clock and finishing at 4. So that's not too long. Hopefully we can cover that. There will be refreshments after the service. And now I'll hand over to Les. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your welcome. It's always lovely to be here with you again. And I bring again the greetings of my own fellowship, Walsworth Road Baptist Church in Hitchin, who send you their greetings. We've some words here from John's Gospel to open our worship this morning. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. My friends, now is the time to worship. Let's come and worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
When every tongue will confess you are God, when every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before. Confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to meet your heart. Just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Lord, we come this morning and gladly bow the knee because you are a great God. You are a wonderful God. You're an amazing God. You're a loving God. As we look around the world that you've created, as we marvel at its intricacies and the wonderful things that you've done, we thank you and we praise you. But most especially, we thank you and praise you for Jesus, that you sent your Son to be our Savior, to die on a cross that we might be set free. And we come this morning to thank and to praise you. But even as we think of the great things that you've done for us, even as we bow that knee, we think of the times when we've let you down, times when we've not done what we should have done, times when we've done things that we should not have done. And we come this morning to confess our sins, as well as to thank and to praise you, and to ask that you will help us to lead better lives in the future. Amen. Let's continue to sing to this great God as we remember the splendor of the King. How great is our God?
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will sing, how great is our God. And edge to edge he stands, and time is in his hand, the beginning of the end, beginning of the end. Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God!
Thank you, friends. That's warmed us up nicely on a summer's day, hasn't it? And I'm going to do something that I haven't done before. I'm going to suggest that when we say, as we will now, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us, that you might want to say it in your own heart language. Now, you're going to say, if this prayer goes up, and there are some people in English and some people in Ukrainian and whatever languages that we have here this morning, that it's going to be difficult for God to hear. Well, he handles it all the time, friends. Across the world, people will be saying the Lord's Prayer in their own heart language, and God hears and understands us all. As we come together, let's pray the family prayer, but pray it if you like. In your own heart language. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Right. Well, I see there are some young people here. If they want to come and join me, I'll come down here, I think. And does anybody want to help me make a cup of tea, or they've all gone? Oh, well. Stuff out. I'm going to make a cup of tea. And do you want to help me make a cup of tea? Good man, good man. Can you hold that for a moment? We got a tea bag out. Yeah. All right. So I'll put that in. Can we put that in there? Well done, well done. That's very good. I better hold it now because the water's quite hot. Don't go away, I still need you. Let's play with the car for a moment while we do this. Now, this is not ordinary tea. This is blue pea tea. Does anybody have that at home? No. You do? You have blue tea? Yeah, that's all right then. Now, I'd better do this bit because this is hot water. You can't make a cup of tea without hot water, can you? So we give this a good dangle. You can't hold it because it's too hot. No. You keep hold of the car. What colour is it? Green. Oh. I'm not sure whether everybody agrees it's green. What do you think? It does look like green. All right. Have you been tested? Well, that's that, yeah. Okay, so what color would you say it is? Blue. Yeah. Reluctantly, you're saying blue, yeah. Okay, well, I'll just go for a second cup of tea. I do it all myself today. I mean, it's coming out nice. Blue colour. Now I've got here, I hope I have. Couldn't find it just now. Yes, I do. I have here, you'll recognise this. Well, my wife will recognise this. She'll be recognising everything I'm using. Okay, a lemon. Yep. And I'm going to put just a few drops of this lemon into this lovely cup of tea. And you'll tell me what's happening. So what color would you say that is now? And don't say green. It's a sort of purpley colour, isn't it? Yes, it's magenta. Did you say that? I might even say puce, but it's purpley colour. So we can compare the two. Let's get this. Now, this is where I really do need... Where's he gone? I should have kept his car and then he would have stayed. I need to hold it. Perhaps I'll hold it up against the white of. That would be great. Just need somebody to hold that so that I can hold these up against it and people can see the colour. Well, come. You, all right. Okay. So you can definitely see the difference in the colour. Yeah, good. Let's stop that while it so they change back. Yes. No, they won't change back. And the message is that just a few drops of lemon, a few drops of citric acid really, have changed the colour of that tea from that blue colour to that magenta colour. And it's a reminder to us as Christians that Jesus says that we are the salt in the world. We're the yeast that makes the bread rise. You just need a little bit of salt, don't you, to make a big difference to a meal. Yeah, sometimes you taste soup or meal and whoa, it's so bland, and you add a little bit of salt. You have to be careful not to add too much, don't you? A little bit of salt and it changes the taste. And Jesus says Christians are like that. A little bit of Christianity, a little touch from a Christian can really change a situation. And you may be able to think of many situations where that's been true. One Christian has made a big difference to the way people are thinking or talking or acting. Without yeast in your bread, it's pretty awful, isn't it? It doesn't rise. So it just sticks to your tongue. It really isn't something you want to eat. But the little bit of yeast makes an enormous difference to a loaf of bread, doesn't it? Little bit of Jesus that you bring as Christians makes such a difference. A few drops of lemon turned this from blue to magenta. So friends, remember, next time you make a blue PT, and I can tell you where I get these from. I get some of you know that our son and his wife work in Southeast Asia, and in particular Lydia, one of the charities she works with, runs a fair trade organic farm where these very leaves were grown that have these wonderful properties. And I can also tell you that they taste very nice too. So the next time you think that you you wonder why you're here as a Christian, remember, just a few drops of Christianity can make a massive change. Thank you, friends. Now we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a song which reminds us that God can use each one of us in very special ways. Make me a channel of your peace. A channel of your peace. There is here for the Lord. Never see to even sort of small as to understand. Sorry, I can. Make me a channel of your peace. When there's despair in life, let me be whole. When there is darkness, oh. Sadness ever joy. Lord, we bring you these gifts, these tokens of our love and appreciation of all that you've done for us, and pray that you'll take and use these tokens, that you'll take and use the standing orders and the other ways of giving, that your glory may be seen, that your kingdom may be built. Lord, use these gifts for the building of your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Andy is going to come and bring us our Bible reading from Romans.
Good morning, church. Right, it's Romans 12, 9 to 21, which is in 1139 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It is good, pleasing, and perfect. For by the grace given me, I say every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in your eyes, in the eyes of everyone, if it is possible, as far as it is, depends, sorry, on you. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Thank the Lord for his word.
Amen. And thank you, Andy. Thank you for the bonus too. We continue to respond to God's word as Sharni leads us in our prayers of intercession.
We also had a request from BMS World Mission to pray for the global cost of living crisis, and in particular to pray for three countries. So I will read out the prayers from the mission partner in those countries, and then also what the impact is on the global crisis in those countries. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear Lord, I just want to give you the thanks and the praise this morning, because you are a good God. You are a great God. And Lord, you love us unconditionally. And this morning, Lord, we come united in prayer to pray for others who are in need. And I ask, Lord, that you will hear our prayers. Lord, we pray in particular for Benon in Uganda, who has reported on the sharp rise in the price of everyday products and fuel that is making it hard for Ugandans to make ends meet, with some families reducing their meals to just one a day. So Lord, we pray for hope for better days in Uganda and for a return to normal life. In Lebanon, there are reports that the impact of the Ukrainian war is already worsening the humanitarian needs and deepening the food crisis they are experiencing. They started to ration wheat, and people are starting to stockpile wheat, yeast, and sunflower oil. And Lord, we pray that the hungry in Lebanon will be fed, and that the missionary partners will continue to be your hands and your feet in the region. And we stand together with Deepak in Nepal, who reports the cost of basic food items is going up every week, and their redevelopment projects are becoming more expensive as a result of the increase in the price of materials and fuel. So Lord, we pray for those on the margins in Nepal, that they will be provided for and that a solution can be found. We also want to pray for our mission partners, Peter and Louise. And Lord, we thank you for their time that they were able to spend with friends and family in the UK recently, and for their safe return to Dhaka in Bangladesh. Bangladesh too will be faced with the challenging times ahead. But Lord, continue to bless and keep and use Peter and Louise in Bangladesh as they look to serve you. And Lord, we pray for all missionary partners across the world, that they will build good community relationships, that they will respond to difficulty and opposition wisely, and continue to teach new believers effectively. And Lord, closer to home here in the UK, we too are facing with the cost of living crisis. We pray for those agencies who are providing aid through food and cash assistance and many other ways, that you continue to bless them, that they continue to receive the resources that they need to be able to assist those that are most affected. And Lord, we also pray for our church family. We want to thank you for Colin and Chris, Lord, who are enjoying leave at this time. We pray that you bless them, Lord, that they would enjoy their time off and that they would have a time of refreshing. And Lord, that Colin will return next week or next Monday. And be renewed, dear Lord Jesus, and continue the work amongst each one of us. And continue the vision that you've laid on his heart to win souls for you. We also want to pray for Norma. We thank you, Lord, for the test that she has undertaken last week and for the eye operation that is due this Thursday. I pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon her life, that she would be contented knowing that the operation will be taken care of with people that are experts in their field, dear Lord, and she doesn't have to be anxious and worried, dear Lord. And we pray, Lord, for the positive, a successful outcome of the operation. We also want to think of Brian today, dear Lord. We thank you for blessing him with another year. 97 years he's enjoyed on this earth, but Lord, he is growing weary and tired. And I pray, Lord, that you meet him at the point of his need, and Lord, that he too would be gracious in accepting the help that is around him. And Lord, also pray for those who are supporting him at this time, that you just continue to strengthen them as well, to help him in whichever way possible to make him comfortable. Continue to bless him and use him, and thank you, dear Lord, for the faith that he has in you, that he continues to show in you. Lord, we also want to think of Shirley at this time, and we ask that you continue to bless her and continue to bring healing to her body, and that she would receive full health, Lord, in due course. Undertake, Lord, for the medical staff that are doing tests and trying to figure out what the problems are with her health. And Lord, that they would be able to diagnose correctly what the problems are and really provide a solution that's going to work and bring healing, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we also want to thank you for the prayers that have been answered for Ray. He's feeling much better now. And Lord, we continue to seek your grace for the care team, Lord, that needs to find a care package that will enable Ray to return home. Lord, there may be others here this morning that I've not mentioned that you might have on your hearts, and I'll just be quiet for a moment that you can mention people that you are thinking of at this time that is in need of the Lord. Lord, thank you that you love us and care for each one of us. And so, Lord, we will continue to put our trust in you. And give us ears, dear Lord, to hear, and hearts that will respond when you speak. So please continue to bless us further. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for those prayers, Charlene, and for leading us this morning. We're going to sing a very popular hymn by Graham Kendrick about the servant king, the king who calls us to follow him in a Christian life of service. From Heaven You Came. our servant King, who calls us now to follow Him, to get our lives on the knee offering, our worship through our servant calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant King.
So let us learn how to serve,
and in our lives our God, the Serpent King, He calls us now to follow Him, so bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the Serpent King. Well, I hope you've been enjoying this good weather that we've been having. It's been great, except when you try to sleep at night, isn't it? But it really does seem that global warming has caught up with Hertfordshire. It made me think that a story that I heard that came from Florida might one day apply to this country. It's a story about a lady who was soaking up the sun's rays on a Florida beach. When a little boy in swimming trunks carrying a towel came up to her and asked her, "Do you believe in God?" She was surprised by the question, but she answered, "Yes, yes, I do." Then he asked her, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" Again, her answer was yes. Then he asked her, "Do you read your Bible and pray every day?" Again, she said yes. And by now, her curiosity was very much aroused. At last, the boy sighed with obvious relief. And he said, "Will you hold my money while I go in swimming?" Wouldn't it be nice if everybody had the same faith in Christians as that little boy did? Lee Strobel was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and he began attending church in the early 1980s in an effort to appease his newly converted wife. He wrote a book about it, Inside the Mind of Unchurched Harry and Mary. Lee Strobel recalls, when I walked into church as a skeptical unbeliever, my hypocrisy antenna was scanning the place for signs that people were just playing church. He continues, in fact, I was aggressively on the lookout for phoniness, opportunism, or deception, because if I felt if I could find an excuse for rejecting the church on the grounds of hypocrisy, I could feel free to reject Christianity as well. My friends, there you are. There we have it. Straight from a skeptic. He was looking for something real. He was looking for something authentic in that church. Thankfully, he found it and became a Christian. And that's why he wrote that book. We need to be aware that there are other people who have an uncanny ability to check out what is real and what isn't. You see, Christianity isn't just something for the weekend. It isn't just something that you do now and then, occasionally. Our devotion to Christ isn't supposed to be part of our lives. It's supposed to be the totality of our being, to be our lives daily as we live them. What non-believers see us do is important. You see, they don't believe a word we say. They just look to see what we do. We need to be authentic. My favorite Woody Allen quote runs something like this. The most important thing in life is authenticity. If you can fake that, you've got it made. Our reading today, Romans chapter 12, and particularly those verses from 9 to 21, is what I want us to focus on this morning. It's sometimes called the handbook for Christian living. Paul tells us we need to live Christian lives. Not because we need to behave like a Christian in a sinful world that's desperately looking for authentic faith, but because we have been transformed. We've been totally changed by an encounter with the living God, such that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, as Paul puts it at the beginning of that chapter, verse 1. You know, these verses from 9 to 21 are great practical verses. They're great practical advice on how to live the Christian life. Look at this, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Some bits of this passage are easier than others, aren't they? Verse 15, the beginning there. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Well, that bit's easy. I can do that. I went to a graduation ceremony on Friday, and I rejoiced with everybody who was rejoicing. I didn't get a degree, but I was quite happy to clap and to cheer and to smile and to rejoice with those who were being rewarded for their hard work. I was there alongside the parents, cheering them on. In fact, I was probably rejoicing even more than the parents because I got a free lunch and they paid for theirs. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and it's easy, isn't it? But look at that second part. Mourn with those who mourn. Friday week, I go to the funeral of our neighbor, and I'll mourn with those who mourn, and that's not so easy. But they say until you've cried with someone, you haven't really known them. You haven't really loved them. The challenges to Christian living, though, start when we're not patient. We're not patient in affliction, or some translations have it, patient in tribulation. Verse 12 tells us to be patient in affliction. so we don't feel like what it tells us to do in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Is there anybody here who's ever been hurt by somebody? And as far as you know, you did nothing to deserve being hurt. I'm surprised that not everybody's hands up. That's because you're shy and not like that. But my guess is that everybody could say, yeah, I've been hurt. And I don't know what I did to be hurt. There's a story about a mother who heard her six-year-old son wailing in pain. She rushed into the room and she saw her two-year-old daughter was biting the arm of her big brother. She quickly separated the two and soothed them down and explained to the six-year-old, look, your little sister's only two. She doesn't realize it hurts when you bite somebody's arm. She went out the room and she hadn't got very far when she heard her daughter wailing. She rushed back into the room. The son looked up at her and said, she does now. As followers of Christ, one of the milestones that we reach for is to get to the place where it's unimportant for us to bite back or to hit back. If you've ever been hurt, remember, everybody here is going to hurt somebody sometime. Even when you're trying to do the right thing, somebody close to you is going to misunderstand you and will be hurt by it. And when you do something good for someone, someone else is going to be jealous of your actions. They can be hurt because you're not doing the same for them. There's no pass-through or hurt-free card in life. The future of our lives is often shaped by the hurts that we feel. But what's an even greater factor in shaping our lives is how we respond to those hurts. As followers of Christ, we're not to entertain thoughts of vengeance or retaliation. To the contrary, we're to show acts of kindness. You know, people outside the church have always found great difficulty in understanding that teaching, that approach to life. Nikita Khrushchev once said, the difference between Christianity and communism is great. When someone strikes you on the face, you turn the other cheek. If you strike me on the face, I'll hit you so hard, your head will fall off. Or look at politics in our country right now. Dirty tricks, lack of integrity, lies, deceit, fantasy policies. This concept of my truth, as if there's more than one sort of truth. The challenge is this, that in a world like that, with leadership like that, we might actively, not so much we might actively back evil, but we might support evil, thinking that it will achieve good. I suspect that's the problem some Christians have had in the United States with Donald Trump, thinking because he could achieve good, they could turn a blind eye to evil. But if we look at verse 21 here, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we stoop to evil, we've not overcome evil with good, but evil has overcome good. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Remember what he said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive whom? forgive his enemies. Jesus is on the cross. He's suffering agony. And he prays. He prays for his enemies. He died for his enemies. My friends, don't forget, that used to include you and me. Paul writes elsewhere to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 10. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So we pray for our enemies. And when we pray for our enemies, that kind of prayer has the power to change us. But it's also got the potential to change our enemies. It frees us up to actually show love to our enemies in ways that Romans chapter 12 and other passages of Scripture tell us we should. Several years ago, a woman wrote an account of a rather miraculous thing which happened to her family. During their family Bible reading as new Christians, they ran across the verse that is in our reading today, chapter 12 and verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Their sons, who were 7 and 10 at the time, were especially puzzled. Why, they wondered, should you feed your enemy? And they discussed this, and they couldn't think of any answers. She wrote, so we turned to my husband as head of the household, John, and we said to him, what does this mean? He said, well, I guess we should do it because God tells us to do so. Day after day, their elder son, the 10-year-old Johnny, came home from school complaining that the classmate who sat behind him in year 5, called Bob, kept jabbing him. Whenever Miss Smith is not looking, he jabs me with a sharp pencil. One of these days, he said, when we're out in the playground, I'm going to jab him back. The mother wrote, I was ready to go down to school and jab Bob myself. Obviously, the boy was a brat. And besides that, why wasn't Miss Smith looking after the class better? How did this happen? I was going to give her an oral jab as well at the same time. She said, I was still fuming over this injustice to Johnny when his 7-year-old brother spoke up. He said, maybe he should feed his enemy. The three of us, she says, were startled. None of us were sure about this enemy business. Did you have enemies in year 5? Surely that was something that happened later in life, somewhere way off. But we all looked at my husband, John. He was the head of the family. It seemed only right he should come up with a solution. But the only answer he could offer was the same one he'd given before. I guess we should, because God told us so. So they asked Johnny what Bob liked to eat. And the two boys shouted, Haribos. So they bought some Haribos and they took a small pack to school. And that afternoon, the boys rushed home, flung open the door on their way home from school and shouted to their mum, it worked, it worked. When Bob jabbed Johnny that afternoon with a sharp pencil, he turned around and gave him the packet of Haribos. Bob was so surprised he didn't say anything, but he just took the sweets. He didn't jab me, Johnny said, for the rest of the day. In time, Bob and Johnny became best friends, thanks to a little bag of Haribos and Romans 12, verse 20. The mother went on to write, both of our sons subsequently became missionaries on foreign fields. Their way of showing friendship to any enemies of the gospel was to invite the inhabitants of those countries into their own homes to share food with them around their own tables. She concluded, "It seems enemies are always hungry. Maybe that's why God said to feed them." My friends, there's a real danger that we get conformed to the world in which we live. That we will be what we should not be because that's what we see around us all the time. And if that happens, we've nothing to offer as Christians, nothing special to offer if we're just like everybody else. The opportunity that we have is to offer love and peace to others, to demonstrate to others the transforming power of the gospel. We have the opportunity to act as lights in darkness, to behave as Christians should. Look, living a Christian life, showing the love of Jesus, living as transformed people, is not complicated. Paul sets it out in very simple terms. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Not complicated, but not easy. It's only possible to do these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we do it, people will observe us. They will see something of the love of Christ in us and through us. They'll see kindness and compassion and reliability and honesty and integrity. And wouldn't that be wonderful? But wouldn't it be even more wonderful if they saw not only somebody living a good life as a Christian, but they saw someone who submits totally to Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Amen. Well, we mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we mourn indeed for those in Ukraine who are suffering so much at this time. We rejoice they can still worship God, often in basements, but they still are able to turn to the Lord. And I thought we might close this morning with a hymn that reminds us of that, because it was discovered in Ukraine by a British missionary, Stuart Hine. It was sung in Russian, even though it's a German song, it's set to a Swedish folk tune, and it was popularized by an American evangelist. And it's a good reminder that "How Great Thou Art," this lovely hymn, is in fact a song which has global reach, because we all can worship a great God. O Lord my God, how great thou art. My God, and I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder. I read around the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook, and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son and not sparing, send him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and take me home, your joy shall fill my heart. Then shall I bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.